we will consecrate and open this church on this weekend. As I said, we've had probably five or more times that we said we were going to have the opening of this church. And every time, my poor parents have been trying to buy tickets to come down here every time. And lots of those have been burnt because the time has come and has passed. Finally, I think it is divine providence, and it's not a coincidence, but the fact is that God has destined that this weekend be the weekend we open this church. Because today coincides three very important dates in the Armenian church, especially for this parish. The first is that today, of course, we remember the genocide martyrs, our holy ancestors who gave their lives so that we would have this church today. Second, we have this new church that was opened and blessed yesterday, and the first full Balara. Well, yesterday was also full Balara, but today I'm the full Balara. Today, we celebrate, and I get to celebrate the Balara today. And third, in the Armenian church calendar, the eighth day of Easter, right? Easter lasts 40 days in the Armenian church. 40 days. The eighth day is referred to as Nor Iragi, New Sunday. And there's lots of theology behind that, and we can discuss that another time. But the fact is today we remember in the Armenian church new life, new beginnings, and now a new church. I believe that God is destined that this weekend be that weekend. We, as so often we try to make plans, God laughs at them, and he decides something else that's better for us. Yesterday, Don Yusufazan explained that this church is called Yegeretzi. Yegeretzi. And in Armenian, there's two words for the church in Armenian. There's church, Yegeretzi, and St. Gregory of Dacia sort of explains it means Yeg, Yegur, come, and Yegeretzi, let it be. So if you come to church, there's the church. Which also means, if you don't come to church, there is no church. So, he says this is folk law. This is not really where the word Yegeretzi comes from. It comes from Greek, ecclesia. Ecclesia. But the other word we use in Armenian for the physical church is daljar. Daljar. And we hear this in the church, and very often when we walk in, the very first words the priest says is Imesh Dajaris, in this temple, we sometimes translate it as. But Dajar means, literally, Da and Jar. He gives a remedy. He gives a cure. He gives healing. So the question then naturally is, what is that cure? What is that remedy and what is that healing that he only gives in this building? The remedy I hope you all know that we receive in the church is Christ, the body and blood of Christ. With very few exceptions, we only give communion to people in the church. We don't take it out to the restaurants. We don't take it out to the hall, except for today because everyone's over there. We don't take it to other places. Only if someone is very, very, very sick and cannot come to church, that's when we take holy communion. But we want them to come to this holy sanctuary and receive Holy Communion. The Holy Communion we hear in the Balarag is the very thing that renews us. There's a part in the Balarag when the priest turns from the altar for the first time with the body and blood of Christ in the chalice, and he says, Isur, Isur. Today you're going to see it if you haven't seen it before. And he says, this is life, hope, resurrection, remission, and forgiveness of sins. It gives us life. What is life? Life is everything to us. People will go to extremes just to live nowadays. But we want life. We want hope. If we don't have hope, what is life then? If there's no reason to live, hope gives us that. It gives us resurrection, new start, and it gives us forgiveness and remission of sins. That is to say, we are once again able to connect with one another. my sermon last week for those that were at church, and I know who you are. Last week for Easter, my sermon was about that. We need to learn to forgive, and that gives us resurrection with each other. But often we don't like that medicine. Nobody likes to take medicine. Very few people like to take medicine. But we need it in order to be healthy. There's an ancient cure that people in the old country, I'd say, still use today. And it's olive oil. Olive oil. When I was in Jerusalem 10 years ago, as I said in Armenian, I had more hair then than now, but I still had very little. I'd walk up and down the streets, and of course my whole body was covered with the unteddy, the robe that I wear, the garb I wear, but my head was open. And as I'm walking through the streets, of course, I get sunburns. I have very fair skin. So, I get sunburned and I'm red, red as can be. So I go back to the monastery, to the seminary, and all the deacons there, they say, we know what we have to do to make you feel better. And all the deacons are from Armenia, so I said, oh, they're going to give me vodka to drink or something. That wasn't the case, thankfully. They gave me olive oil, and they rubbed my head with olive oil. So now I smell like an Italian cuisine and an Italian kitchen, and I'm like, great. But the truth is, it healed me within one day. There was no peeling of skin, there was nothing like that. I was healed, and they knew that. I didn't want it, but they made me take it because they knew I would get better. And this is the same thing that we do for others. Especially that oil we still use in the church today. When somebody is sick, the priest comes and anoints them with oil. It's nothing special. It's not mural that we use. It's olive oil. Because it's healing. It makes them feel better, and it brings them to fullness. It's interesting that yesterday we anointed the 16 points of this church and the altar, and now it's called a church. Before that, all my deacons were running up on the altar with shoes. Now we don't wear shoes anymore. When we walk into the church, we make the sign of the cross. This is now, as we say in English, a full-blown church. Okay? It's a full-blown church. But it's not the only one that is a church. It's not the only one that's a temple to God. We anointed it with holy mural, but we also are anointed with holy mural. Those of us that have been baptized in the Armenian church or have been chrismated into the church have been anointed by the priest with holy mural. The same oil that was used on these crosses in the baptismal font, on the icons and on the altar, is the same oil that we are baptized with. The very same. And we're baptized on our foreheads, our nose, our eyes, our ears, our mouth, our hands, our heart, our back, and our feet. We are completely covered in this mural by the end. And that means we become a temple. But as a temple of God, that also means that God, that Satan knows he wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy the temple of God. He wants to destroy us from within and from below. If you take out the bottom stones of a temple, of a building, what happens? It falls apart. David knows, he's an architect, right? You take off the bottom, the foundation, the whole thing falls apart. He does the same to us. If he can take out the bottom of us, then we will fall apart. Our foundation, which is God. As I said in Armenian, those that live in Texas know the unfortunate state we're in with our ground. That our ground roots and it's clay. And you need to water your foundations often. If you don't not water your foundations, what happens? Cracks. And the whole thing collapses eventually. So you need to constantly water your foundation. Likewise, we need to constantly water our foundation, which is God. That means coming to church, being in communion with Him, being here and celebrating His goodness. 107 years ago, on this very day, the Armenian genocide officially began. And Satan again tried to destroy the church. He tried to chip away at it and destroy it. But this church and sanctuary today is testimony that he was unsuccessful. That 107 years later, that a church with the top of it having a cross, that people can see from miles away, can see and know that the Armenians exist, that the Armenians have survived, and that there is resurrection in their nation today. I believe, again, that God has chosen this weekend for that, specifically many, many years ago. And we as an Armenian nation, small, insignificant, we might have how many people in this world? 10, 15 million tops? But yet, God, for some reason, has decided to keep the Armenians around for something. We're the first Christian nation, and we love to tell everyone that. But that's not it. That's not our mission, just to tell people that. Our mission is to tell people and to show people we are the first Christian nation. That includes forgiveness. That may also include forgiving our enemies. But what greater testimony for God is it than if we can convert our enemies to become our brothers? Imagine, maybe the Armenians have been given the mission and the calling to convert the Turkish nation to Christianity. Imagine that. If the Armenians are able to do that, then we truly are Christian. So we have anointed this church yesterday and today for a special purpose. We have anointed each other during baptism for a special purpose, to preach the word, to bring people to this remedy, which is Christ. And when we do that, we then continue the mission of the apostles, the saints, the martyrs, and our 1.5 million ancestors. And we bear witness to them of the risen Christ. And we remember the words of the Lord that say, I have chosen you. You have not chosen me. I have chosen you. He has chosen the Armenians for something. I think we know what it is, but we don't necessarily want to do it. But when we stand before the judgment seat and he asks the Armenians,